You are listening to episode 112 of the Forest Podcast, recorded Monday, June 13th, 2011. Blackout. Welcome to the Forest Podcast. I'm Mike Evans.
I'm Kenneth Love.
And we are your daily tech design and development blackout.
Woo!
We had a little delay in episode 111, which should be coming out right after this episode is done, because
we never have delays. This is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, well, I've been without power for 5 days straight in Detroit. It's evil.
How's the looting?
It's
pick up anything good yet?
I've got everything that's worthwhile in Detroit, so I've been sitting on the on the third floor with my shotgun, fending off the hordes.
I see. I want a shotgun from the third floor. Not that great.
It's got a large area of effect, so it kind of works out.
I guess
there's like
so, yeah.
Six corpses on the front.
You could just climb to the roof and toss off like cinder blocks or something.
Crackheads are fast, though, man.
On that note, today's episode is brought to you by Fantastical. I want to know if I should say Fantastical or Fantastical.
Just like as long as it's not Fantastical.
Fantastical, yes, Fantastical. That's great. You're going to talk about our sponsors that way. Anyway, Fantastical. Say hello to your new assistant. You had an old assistant, now you have a new one. Fantastical from FlexiBits is a calendar like no other. You'll actually enjoy using your calendar. Just type in your event in natural language, English, such as Lunch with Matthew on Friday, and Fantastical will automatically convert your text input into an event. With its beautiful calendar and event list, your events have never been easier to manage. Plus, with Fantastical's built-in CalDAV support, all of your events will sync to the cloud directly without requiring iCal or any other apps to be open. Fantastical is your Mac's calendar will never be the same again. You can get your free trial now from flexibits.com. That's FlexiBits.com.
Woo!
So thanks FlexiBits for letting Mike say Fantastical.
FlexiBits.
Fantastical.
I don't know, it just sounds like, you know, the nickname of somebody on the Olympic gymnastics team or something.
Fantastical?
No, FlexiBits.
Oh, FlexiBits.
Hey, you know, yeah, that's Lisa. We call her FlexiBits.
Fantastical sounds more like a superhero porn star.
It is I, Fantastical.
or maybe a wrestler.
Or maybe a wrestler. Right?
Can you snap into a Slim Jim? You can now in Ruby.
I don't understand Slim the wrestler Jims. Part. What?
Macho Man Randy Savage, snap into a Slim Jim.
Who is Macho? I don't watch wrestling.
What?
I'm...
He was the 80s. He was the 1980s. How do you not know who Macho Man Randy Savage was? The great thing is his name was already Randy Savage, and then he's like, I need a better nickname. I need more nickname than Randy fucking Savage.
So now he's Macho Man Randy Savage?
Someone to be Macho Man Randy Savage. No, he was the first one to die during the apocalypse back in May.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, he went to heaven and like elbow dropped Jesus, and that's what saved
but
us
dude,
all from being...
Even you have to get it right. The apocalypse isn't until October
26th. I'm sorry. It saved us all from the rapture.
Rapture. Thank you.
Yes, the apocalypse is not occurring until October 21st, and we will all be here to gloat on October 22nd. So Slim Jims is a drop-in replacement for Ruby Jims, because Ruby Jims is fat and bloated and ugly, right?
Whatever. I don't know. Well, I don't maintain any gyms, so I can't.
I don't even do Ruby. So
all I know is on the user end, Ruby Jims works nice and nice.
I just liked the name.
Slim Jims.
Slim Jims. Yeah, it's
so this
cool.
Guy is. I think it's a fork of Ruby Jims, actually, with everything taken out of.
Yeah, it's a slimmed down fork of Ruby Jims. So it should work everywhere that Ruby Jims works, unless you need some of the fat for some reason. And it looks like the Ruby 1.9.3 release may be containing Ruby Jims 1.8. So I guess that's kind of why he's putting out Slim Jims, is I guess kind of to help people get going or something. I don't know. I don't do Ruby. It's not my thing.
It's not your bag?
No, it's not. Something else that's not really my bag is paying with my phone. Seems like kind of a weird idea.
Everybody's like, oh, this is so special. I'm like, you know, you could just make all this really easy if your credit card company just sent you a sticker that had the magnetic strip. You just put it on the back of your iPhone. There you go. You're done.
Or you just pay through ARFID, but then that's going to be amazingly insecure like all the ARFID credit cards used to be.
Robble, robble, robble. Complain, complain, complain.
So anyway, Google Wallet has recently come out. It's not available for everybody yet. It's only available on, I think, one phone.
I think it's the Nexus X, right?
Yeah, and it's only available with, like, City Card, maybe? I know it's very, very limited. And then Square is releasing an app as well that does a similar kind of thing.
But wait, why does Square need that when I can just use a credit card?
Well, because Square already has the other side, right, where that you can accept payments. But now Square has released an app where you can make payments.
So it'd just be like...
They're now going full circle.
What retailer is in your area? Oh, okay. James is here.
It kind of looks like it probably only works with places that do Square.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But I don't know for sure. But Square means Square's processing $3 million a day with their free credit card readers.
That's all drug money.
Or impressive.
That is all the drug man showing up at your house.
A lot of it probably is drug.
Did you see the Congress people's, I don't know who it was, saying that Bitcoin is evil and it's only used for marijuana?
No. I did install a user script that blocks all mentions of Bitcoin on Hacker News. Ha. And I was very sad to see that it doesn't work in the RSS feed, although why would it?
It also doesn't work on Skype, apparently. Bitcoin, yes. Bitcoin. Why don't you like Bitcoin?
I don't have a problem with Bitcoin. If it takes off, awesome, great, good for them. I just think it seems a bit contrived and silly.
You can buy drugs and porn with it. It has taken off. It has succeeded.
I don't need drugs and porn is free.
Hey, you're going to go to jail or something. I don't know. The internet is for porn, but it's for paying for porn.
No, it's really... the LulzSec just released like 90,000 passwords.
Of what, porn?
Passwords. Yeah.
Shame on you.
I didn't partake of them. I'm just saying that they're out.
Don't go look for that.
LulzSec is the security firm that hacked the PlayStation Network, I do believe.
Right.
Yeah. And two or three other places in the weeks since then.
Well, since their porn heist, I'm sure they're extra firm now. That was really bad. that was awful.
So, Chris Collier published an article back in 2008 about how to do body borders. It's a border that runs
body
all
border?
The way around.
Doesn't that mean you just eat too much?
No.
I'm not fat, I just have a body border.
No. My bones all have extra padding. no, it's a border that runs around the outside of your website. So, like, it would frame all your content, and then your scrolling would happen inside that border.
Right.
Hicks Design has it on his site. I know there's several others that do it as well.
You know his last name is not Hicks.
Huh?
I mean, his full name is not Hicks Design. I'm pretty sure it's John Hicks.
It is, but his website is called Hicks Design, so Hicks Design has it.
Whatever.
I'm not wrong, boy. Don't make me come smack you.
You won't be able to find me. It's too dark.
Well, yeah, you do have that natural camouflage. So anyway... He has updated that article with some newer, better CSS3e kind of ways.
Pseudo classes.
So if you're like, dude, I need a border body, but I'm tired of using these dumb old CSS2. I can't, you know, I used CSS2 before it was an official recommendation.
2.1.
Right. If you're all like that, then...
I just like sneaking down before Christmas, you know? Shame on you.
It's just being a web technology hipster, right? I used CSS 2.1 before it was an official standard.
I like that.
Yeah? Commandlinefoo.com, which is an awesome site anyway. I think we've talked about them before. Basically, if there's like, you want to find out how to do something on the command line because you know there's got to be a way to do it, you can come here and you can search and it will find a way to do that if such a thing
exists. If it exists. And if it doesn't exist, it will make up a way.
Probably. But this one is actually really handy, especially for those of you who are kind of new to the command line. And this is a simple little way to protect a directory from rm-rf star. So you don't want this directory to be deleted, which, you know, you can understand why that would exist. So this little snippet will stop the directory from being deleted.
Right.
Basically, all you have to do is add a file inside the directory named -i, and that will stop the file or the directory from being.
You got to put this in your portfolio.
Or you can change an attribute on the directory, and you can add the plus I attribute to the directory, and that will stop it from being deleted as well.
Outrageous.
Mm-hmm. That's the immutable bit. So, and that actually worked on a file as well. So,
there you go.
Good to know. So, Mashable has a little flowchart here. Should you build that website you've been talking about?
Mashable doesn't have anything. Mashable has no unique content. It's just,
we've had two or three things.
I go to Mashable, and I just don't know where any of this shit's coming from. This site looks... I don't understand how this is still looking the same way it has. I never know if it's an actual article or if it's a, you know, some sort of ad.
Right. It is a little bit, you know. But, I mean, I like the, you know, what's your idea of good code? Naming variables after my pets.
You're on your way to having an awesome idea.
Copy and paste from Stack Overflow. Lots and lots of nested tables. Yeah, you're gonna need a developer.
Nah, man, you're good. You're good. You can do it.
No, I don't think you are. Anyway, it's an interesting flowchart. Yeah, it looks nice. Go read it, and then you know you'll probably end up at the no. You should hire a developer.
I wonder if rappers have flowcharts.
Rappers?
Yes. Because they used to talk about, I got a mad flow. I wonder if they
it's just all about the bad jokes today.
A big flow chart.
It's all about the bad
jokes. These are good jokes.
There's probably a couple. I bet like MC Frontalot probably has a flow chart.
MC Frontalot? I don't know who that is.
He's a nerdcore rapper.
Oh, okay.
He's decently funny. Ricardo.cc has 10 CoffeeScript one-liners to impress your friends.
Ooh.
So if you're like, dude, I'm doing this CoffeeScript, and your friends are all like, yeah, whatever, but you're doing it the slow way, here you go.
How would CoffeeScript be the slow way?
Well, you're like spending too much time working your way through the CoffeeScript, right? Not learning, like the way you're coding things is slow, perhaps. Like you're coming from the PHP world, not the Python world, and you're looking at CoffeeScript, and you're writing CoffeeScript like you wrote your PHP.
Well, shame on you.
I agree. You shouldn't have ever been in the PHP world. But now, you know, yeah, you're having fun. You're writing some fast. He's even got a FizzBuzz in there.
FizzBuzz.
He's even got FizzBuzz.
It's the most readable FizzBuzz you'll ever see.
I don't know this, and it's necessarily the most readable, but it's not a bad looking one.
It's a, it's a six.
Yeah. Kanigi.com has an article about why the Valley, speaking of Silicon Valley, down around San Jose, California, wants designers that can code.
What the fuck is an M-shaped or a T-shaped person? I don't understand this.
I'm really not sure.
I read this whole article and had no idea what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what an M-shaped or a T-shaped person is. But basically the reason he's saying that they want developers who can, or designers who can code, is the idea that you're not this single single discipline type person.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you're
great,
not just
great.
Going one direction. I think the idea of T-shaped is like exposure to a lot of stuff, but then you have like one specialty. So, you know, you'd make a T-shape, right? You're only the very minimum level on a lot of things, and then you're all the levels on something else.
Whereas the M shape
would be like, you know, you're up and down. You're touching a lot of different stuff at a lot of different levels.
You're
by curious.
By winning. Anyway, I want to applaud Jared Spool and Kangi for this, you know, amazing insight. I tell you, this is some real, you know, 2001 thinking.
That you should be involved in more than just one thing.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, yeah. Welcome to the rest of us.
Codesk. So we talked before about Airbnb, the way to like rent out your spare room during conferences and stuff.
Right.
Codesk is a similar kind of idea. It doesn't rely on conferences, though, and it's not airbeds, so it's not at all related. It's actually desk spaces inside your office.
You got to bring your own chair, though.
or you just stand up all day. So if you're an office and you've got some extra desks and you're like, we can make some money renting out these extra desks and letting people use our Wi-Fi, I guess you could, then you can go on here, sign up, and you can share out your desks and rent them out for a certain amount per day.
I don't see anybody listing prices.
If you're the other way around and you just want to use somebody else's desk, then you can do that as well. You can register as a nomad. So, yeah, it's a neat idea. If you're like, I really want a desk, but I'm tired of having to have an office.
Right.
I'm just not thinking well today, guys. That's
a sleepy fella.
A little sleepy. Just not thinking well today. I'm also looking at this map going, why are they using Google Maps? Leaflet looks so much better.
Because Google Maps is amazing.
But Leaflet is so
You
much
should
better.
Never use anything else. You were complaining about Leaflet last week.
It has problems, but it's still better than Google Maps. I've been saying that the whole time. I never once said it wasn't better than Google Maps. Van SEO Design. I see these things and I'm always like, really? SEO? But then I'm like, okay, it's a decent article.
It's a decent article, but you know what? Good article. Steven, you got a good article here, and I'm going to tell you good things about that, but I don't want to see you on Twitter saying that we were mean about your website because it's ugly. That's fair.
Your website's ugly as fuck, yes. It's ugly as fuck. There's way too many drop shadows on this shit, and fake drop shadows on this shit, and just get away from SEO. Just don't even use the word SEO anywhere. Because we immediately just distrust you.
All right, so two.
Anyway, we're
going to
talk about this.
CSS.
So yeah, this is two quick, easy little HTML and CSS templates, basically, for a two or three column fluid grid, or not grid, sorry, fluid layout. So they have a header, a footer, main content, and a sidebar in the two column, and then header, footer, primary sidebar, secondary sidebar, and main content in the three column.
Whenever you talk
and
about
fluid, so they resize. You know, looks nice.
I always hear header and footer, and I think we're talking about soccer.
Well, I suppose we could be. Maybe you should write web design as a soccer analogy book.
And then people would be like, dude, what are you talking about? This is football.
Right. It's going to be interesting trying to like fit the goalie in there. Or a yellow card.
Yellow card would be using SEO. Red card would be storing on unencrypted passwords in your database.
What's wrong with plain text passwords, dude? There's nothing wrong with a plain text password.
Especially if you like porn.
Exactly. Plain text passwords are like the need a penny, take a penny jar.
I don't need free chicken. I need lunch money.
Right? It's like, you know, hey, I need access to this account. Oh, well, here you go. Take a password.
Right. Are we done with
UX movement. How the thumbs up or like button is dumbing users down.
I haven't read this. What does it say?
So basically, the gist of this one is that since we've gotten these Facebook like buttons and thumbs up and even thumbs down, like on YouTube, or Forrest has the heart, it's kind of dumbed users down. They don't have to think about things anymore, about why they like something or don't like something. They can basically just go, eh, it's okay, and click the like button.
What do you mean? Like, when you click the like button, you know why you're clicking like.
Maybe. I bet a good chunk of users, and we'll just use Forrest as an example on this. I bet a good chunk of users scroll through Forrest. They see something that is interesting or that is pretty, and they click the like button without really thinking about why they like it.
They like it because it's interesting and pretty.
Right, but that's not really a good reason. That's a gut reaction.
Yeah.
That's not an informed decision about why you like something.
Whatever.
I'm just saying.
All emotion, no intellect.
Also, it also kind of encourages groupthink. If something has, like the popular page on Forrest, something has all these thumbs ups, if you look at it and really regardless of your reaction, unless you absolutely hate it, to some degree you're probably going to think, I should just go ahead and like this because everyone else does.
I have no problem with this. This is... whatever.
Well, I didn't say it's wrong or that it's bad. It's just that this is an observed phenomenon, is what we'll say. All right? Apparently, this is really good for marketers because, you know, if you get something that a lot of people like, then it's easy to push that out and make more people like it.
Why are you making shit that people don't like is the question.
No, like in the click a button sense.
No, I'm saying just in general. Why are you making stuff that people don't like?
I don't know. Some people do it. But it could be bad for consumers because you end up only seeing the popular stuff, so you may not hear any dissenting opinions.
It eventually bubbled to the top.
Maybe, maybe not. Sean O.C. has released hummus, which is a
it's a simple S3 backup tool.
It does periodic backups of chunks of data to Amazon's S3. It's a command line tool and a Python library. It does automatic file rotation and automatic date-based file trimming. So, yeah. There it is.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. Actually, Chris and I tried using this the other day and had some problems with it, but we could have just been doing things kind of weird.
What is it? Is it Python?
Yeah, it's Python-based, but you basically just edit like an INI file to set everything. And then you would just have it run through cron. You just have it run the hummus application and tell it what file.
I don't think it doesn't need it. I think you just need to get an intern.
Just get an intern?
Just have James in the corner.
Maybe you just have an intern named Hummus.
Right.
Fantastical's the new your new assistant, right?
Right.
So you just have Fantastical do this.
Come on,
FlexiBits. I want Fantastical to back up shit to S3 for me.
I'm pretty sure it already does. It's just not published.
Oh, okay. So Alex Rockwell has put out an article on how to use Redis to control a recurring set of tasks.
Right.
So the idea is it's not a queue. Well, it is a queue, but it's not a queue that ends. It's not an expiring queue.
It is the queue that never... I'm going to stop.
Yeah, let's not do that. So basically he's using rpoplpush and blpop to work his way through this never-ending queue. It's kind of cool. Just a couple of little snippets. Handy. Handy little thing. Showing how to use some Redis with Ruby if you want.
Yeah.
I just wanted to show it. I just thought it was kind of nice.
I think people are just trying to be fancy now. Trying to be like, I use Redis and all this other stuff.
What's wrong with using Redis?
I don't think anything's wrong with using Redis. I just think it's gotten too popular. I think there's some groupthink going on.
Oh, is that it?
Hitting like too much.
Are you too hipster to use Redis?
Man, I think it's past its prime.
I used Redis before VMware acquired it. Actually, I didn't, but I wish I had. All right, the last three links of the day are kind of our joke links for today.
Joke links?
So, somewhat joke links. The first one's not really that much of a joke link. It's kind of a joke link. It's a joke link because it's joke language. PHPsadness.com. So this is a dude, he works in PHP all the time. So he's not like hating on PHP. These are just things in PHP that make him sad.
Your method has died of... what do you die of on the Oregon Trail? Dysentery.
So he's got a bunch of these things now, actually. When I first linked this, because it's been a week since I linked this, there was like maybe 10 things in here. Now there's like, what, 30? 44, something like that?
That's just pretty exact guesstimate.
Yeah, since that top number there was 44. No, wait, 45, 47? I'm looking through here for bigger numbers than 47.
You are not Rain Man.
47. 47 is the biggest number. No, I think Rain Man would be kind of fucked in today's world. Imagine him trying to go through, like, Wikipedia.
Yeah?
He'd be correcting shit all day long. He'd never get out of the house.
I think he should go through WikiLeaks. That'd be all. Or go through Sarah Palin's emails.
Okay, so...
Why did you put out emails in paper? What the fuck?
Exactly what I was going to bring up. They were never on paper to begin with. Why are you putting them out in paper?
24,000 pages of paper.
Well, the thing is, it's not just 24,000. It's distributed to each individual newspaper or reporter or news agency. Gets the same...
Can I request it? Can I have them
photocopied set of emails?
It's brilliant. I love.
I saw pictures from the day when it came out of like, reporters with hand carts pushing out boxes full of emails.
A box of paper is usually 5,000.
Just give them a USB stick and be done with it.
Seriously, someone's just sitting around like, you know what? Fuck trees. That tree.
I don't think it was fuck trees. I think it was nobody's ever going to read these if we give them to them on paper. Right. If it's in an email. you can just search.
There was nothing
right?
even interesting in there. I don't see what the point of getting all up in arms about something being released when half of it's redacted.
Yeah, I don't get that either. But
anyway,
yeah, but they were probably also kind of like fuck trees. Maybe maybe Sarah needs to build a new house up in Alaska. So
was it
like,
that
we're gonna clear out? We're gonna clear out this chunk of rainforest.
Isn't one of the big internet dudes upset because there's like a giant redwood tree and it's blocking the view of the ocean or something? He's trying to get it taken down.
I don't know, but he should be shot. I don't know if it's true or not, but Chris was telling me that it's apparently illegal to smoke in Oregon anywhere that there's like three trees or more. I was trying to find a place that doesn't have three trees that's not like a freeway.
Just chilling on the freeway smoking.
Yeah, you gotta go hang out in the middle of I-5.
Is that only for tobacco though?
I don't know. I haven't looked into laws that don't concern me in Oregon.
What's bacon? So, bacon ipsum? I have no idea what this is.
Well, okay. Well, so anyway, PHP sadness. If PHP makes you sad, or if you just love PHP and you're like, I'm on some sort of Kool-Aid, go read phpsadness.com.
They should have a sad panda typing at like a computer from 1992.
I love that his top two inconsistencies are function naming underscores and function naming prefixes. Because that's one of the things that I know I love to pick on PHP is how you can never guess the name of a function. Like, you can't logically assume what the name of a function is going to be in PHP.
Because they're all named after people's pets.
Right. This is wrong. This is completely wrong. All right, bacon ipsum. It's a meteor lorem ipsum generator.
Give me bacon.
It's meteor. So, for instance, you would get stuff like ball tip, shankle, fat back, flank, strip steak. Short ribs, chuck, T-bone, short loin, drumstick, brisket. It just makes me hungry reading this page.
Oh, man.
I could never use bacon ipsum on a project. I'd be eating the entire time.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I'm fat enough already.
Buy a bike.
I need to. I keep thinking about it. And then veggie ipsum, for the flip side of this.
Stupid.
You're like, I can't have all this bacon in my code, in my mock-ups. Veggie ipsum.
I tell you, I hire somebody and they show me a design with veggie ipsum, fired. Done.
Yeah, right, I don't think I'd be using them either. Although it is kind of funny, like asparagus, grape, black-eyed pea, cauliflower, komatsuna, turnip, soko, earthnut, pea, mustard, pumpkin.
I think they should, whoever made this, every like 10,000 characters should sneak in like,
bacon.
You know, Krispy Kreme donut sandwich or something.
Yes, well, so we've got bacon ipsum and we got veggie ipsum. We need like junk food ipsum.
I don't think we need any more ipsums. I think we got enough.
Big Mac donut. I kind of got lost right there.
Need ipsum.
Ipsum ipsum. Yes, that just randomly recompiles lorem ipsum into lorem ipsum.
Yes.
It would be just meta ipsum. That would be awesome.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus ipsum.
Jesus ipsum, and it's just random names of gods throughout time.
Yes, Time Lords.
Time Lords. See, there's so many things that you can make an ipsum about. Speaking of, okay, we're talking about Time Lords. We're on the middle of the season of Doctor Who. You need to go catch up, because I want to talk to you about what happened at the end of it, and I can't because you haven't seen it.
Fine, I'll watch it all this week as long as I have power.
Yes, you need to go watch. It's so far been a good season. That's it for the show today. Our thanks to Fantastical for sponsoring for sponsoring the show. I think we've got a special guest on tomorrow. I'm not sure yet.
Ooh, who is the special guest?
We'll see. You'll find out whenever they're there when we start recording. Podcast@forest.com is our email. Forest Podcast is our Twitter, and forestpodcast.com is our website. Go sign the guest book or something like that. If you love us, talk about us on iTunes.
If I don't see a fucking new rating on iTunes for the next week, I'm going to stab somebody.
And you got to be careful because he's in Detroit and there's no shortage of people there.
That's why
they're just bulldozing down houses at the rate of like 10,000 a week. Did you read that article I sent you?
If they were bulldozing houses at 10,000 a week, we'd be very happy because Kwame Kilpatrick promised to take down, I think, like 13,000 houses by the end of his mayorship, and it never happened. And Bing is also behind, so it's no dice.
Yeah, no, they're not. they're not doing 13,000 a week. They don't have anywhere doing that number per week. But anyway, no, that's the show for today. Don't make Mike stab anybody.
Yeah.
I'd rather he not stab
I don't
want to
be stabbed.
It's hard to do a podcast from jail. That's all we're going to say, right?
Could be interesting, though.
It could be.
You have some very interesting special guests.
No touching.
Yes.
That's the end of the show.
Bye.
Later, guys.